This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's Saturday. Everybody ceased work for the week. Yeah. That's a good thing. Everybody can go and do something. You know, it's time to get up and get out and do something.
Yeah, and it's almost Easter, so that's a good thing.
It is almost Easter. Everybody's going to be thinking about sunrise service. Mm-hmm. They're going to be thinking about the Easter Bunny. I was asked yesterday if the Easter Bunny was going to come visit.
And what did you say?
I'll have to think about it. I'll have to call him. You know, talk to the old boy. See if he, you know, if he's available to come and see us. You know, every year the Easter Bunny has come. And he's a big old boy. You know, that Easter Bunny's about 7 foot tall.
Yee. Wow.
Has big ears, beautiful paws. And so that's something nobody will ever forget, is what the Easter Bunny really looks like.
Yeah. Wow. I don't think I've ever actually seen the real Easter Bunny before. That's cool.
Well, you should take pictures. Maybe I can send you one if he comes by.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. Well, that'll be fun. They'll love that.
And he always brings candy, you know, candied eggs, all that. And, you know, a big basket full of surprises. So it's nice if he has the time to come.
Has Max ever seen the Easter Bunny before?
Oh, no. Max has not seen the Easter Bunny. Well, that would be worse. He would bring that up.
Yeah.
That could be very interesting. I can just see Max chasing him down the driveway. You know? He's running for his life, and his tail's flying. Oh, my gosh. It'd probably be more fun than the skunk deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was fun, but this would really be funny. Oh, me. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That Easter Bunny wouldn't even be white anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It could be a safety factor.
Yes, I think so. I imagine he would clear the gate.
Yeah.
He wouldn't wait for its opening. He'd clear that thing. Oh, my gosh.
Unless the Easter Bunny has some treats for Max, because if there's treats, then most dogs can be bought off with special treats or something. So that
Yes. Now, Max loves treats.
Oh.
So if he had treats... Max probably wouldn't send him away.
Yeah.
He'd probably let him stay. Yeah. Hadn't thought about that.
See, we presented a problem, created a situation, and then solved it.
That's right. If we can solve a few problems of the world, it would help also.
I know.
You know? I'm looking forward to that.
I know it. Sometimes on Saturday mornings, it ends up being like therapy, and we do solve a lot of problems, even some that don't even exist. It's the beauty of it.
Well, I know people do have imaginary problems. They have imaginary friends, so why not? You know?
I know the feeling.
Yes, I mean, you know.
Oh, wow.
When you find you're talking to yourself, you know you do have a problem.
Nah, it's only when you answer yourself.
Yeah, that's pretty serious. Yes.
At least that's what I tell myself anyway.
Oh, all right, I believe that.
This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So how's business? What are we doing? What are some of the highlights from this past week?
Well, we've had some setbacks this week. We've had two recensions.
Really?
Lisa Brewer, which we just finished up, has died. We did not have change of ownership done yet. So the family will get the money, and the money will go back in their base account. What a sad deal. We just got it bought, spent all that time buying it. We're waiting for the final papers on it, and we were informed yesterday afternoon at 3 o'clock that she'd passed away.
Oh, no.
And then we had another one that we had bid, and we'd been approved on it. It was the one I told everybody the premiums were guaranteed for 30 years, and they were like $500-something a year. I mean, it was a wonderful policy. It was $1 million, and the family called and said the man was so ill they were going to rescind and keep the policy.
Oh, wow.
So I had two, that were so ill when we started buying it. We didn't know they were that ill, that they were, you know, fixing to pass away immediately. But Lisa Brewer, I thought it was a good policy. I put a lot of good people in it, and she died. That's all there is to it. Before we could get it finished, then the other policy, a family said he was so ill that they weren't going to finish the deal with us.
Wow.
So that's two that we lost this week. And we just cut it too close on both of them.
Yeah, it sounds like they were sicker than what people thought.
They were a lot sicker than what everybody thought. And when they came to us, they thought they had more time. Well, one of them was, 12 months? And the other one, I think, was maybe 18 months. And they weren't that long at all. I mean, it was imminent, and we didn't know it. And the family did not know that Ms. Brewer was, was fixing to just pass away, but she did.
Wow.
So anyway, we lost those two. We were bidding a lot of other things. We lost the bid on Martinez that we were really hoping to get. It was $1 million. So we've got four others we're bidding on. Hopefully it's not too close that they pass away before we get it done. And they're good policies, good rates, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah. Those don't happen very often, but I know there have been some times in the past where you haven't got all the paperwork quite done yet, and they were sicker than you thought. And so really, it sounds like it catches everybody by surprise. But then again, you never really know. You know, I mean, that's part of kind of like how the whole process works. And sometimes when they're that close, those things will happen. And so, it's not the first time. It probably won't be the last, I would assume.
No, it won't be the last time. Over the years, we've had it happen. It doesn't happen very often, but two in 1 week is kind of tough to take because, you're not expecting it. But it just wasn't meant to be. So we'll go on and do some other policies. Hopefully, they'll be as good as those, and we won't cut it as short. Maybe they really do have 12 months or 18 months, and we'll get it done. They were just slow in getting the papers all to us, and that can happen.
Yeah.
It could have been they were too sick to sign the change of ownership when they got them. I don't know if that's what happened or not, but we just know that she passed away, and then the guy, is too sick to go through with it. So the families get the money. Remember that. If it rescinds, the family gets the money. The money goes back into your bank account, and we have to do it over.
Yeah. But then there's other policies that will come along, and you say there's, four? Did you say there's four?
Yeah, we've got four others that we're bidding. They look real good to me. They're fairly the 30-month one I'm very, very interested in. I bid it, and we're going to see what happens. The others are shorter, but you know how I like those 30-month ones.
Yeah.
So we'll just see what happens. They all appear to me to be really good. And the premiums are good. We'll just see what happens.
Cool. All right. Well, it's one thing. I know that those fast maturities will happen sometimes, a little faster than we don't say this very often, but faster than what we'd like. But then at least there's always some good stuff, following up and things like that. Always new policies coming too. And that's the great thing about life settlements is that, it's not necessarily a market trend kind of a thing. It's just kind of like whatever is available. You look at them, you see what kind of profit there would be. You analyze them, and if there's profit, you'll bid on them. And there's always new policies coming in, which is cool.
And then we've had a lot of maturities. I mean, a lot. the Klein policy that went in the bank this week. There was two or three others that did. Let's see, one guy had two policies. So there was a $400,000 and a $200,000. And then there was the other policy, gross. And so all those have went to the bank. I saw a record of that. So everybody's money is in the bank on those three policies. So we've had a lot of maturities in the last two or three months, as you know. And just getting them all to the bank, you know, getting all the paperwork done. And I love it when they finally say, okay, the money's in the bank. And there was some interest on both of them, so they got a little bit of extra interest. Yeah.
Cool.
And so that was good. I always like it. Some life insurance companies pay better on interest than others, but we always get a little bit of interest back. So that always makes your deal just a little sweeter if you can get your interest, your principal, and then a little extra interest.
Yeah, no doubt. Wow.
Yeah. So everybody loves that. We had new customers this week. We had new people investing with us. One gentleman had a lot of money in the stock market. He said he wanted to make a change. So he came with an IRA, and we rolled the IRA over to a new IRA, and that was exciting. so we've had a lot of good things happening. Not only did we have maturities, we had new people. And they told me their story. You know, I always like to hear what the reason behind the way they think and, you know, what they want to do with us and what they want to accomplish. So that was a blessing this week also.
Wow. Then it sounds like, you know, even though you had a kind of a rough start in some aspects, it sounds like a lot of really great things happened this week. Sounds like a really like you're walking away from last week as though it was a good week. It goes in the win column.
That's right. Even though we had two setbacks, we had a lot of good news. A lot of customers, I talked to them. Several people needed their statement. I did that. One client called me and said, give me all this information. I did. And he said, well, I've got several policies that are over. He said, tell me about it. So I explained all that to him. I told him, you know, he probably have three in a row. That's the way it usually works. Because after I talk to somebody, that always seems like within a couple of weeks, they have a maturity.
Yeah.
So I told him, I said, we'll probably have maturity over this, so let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. We might not get a maturity on it, but it seems like it always works that way.
It's almost like you reverse jinx it.
That's right. I reverse jinx it because somebody say, oh, I've got all these policies are over. And then I swear to you, couple of weeks later, we'll find out we had one all the time, didn't know about it, and that it hadn't been reported. And that's what we try to do is get reports every day on what maturities we have, and sometimes you can't find it. You know, they've moved. They're not living in the same state. You know, that lady this last year, you know, we were trying to track her. She lived in Albuquerque. Her husband died in Albuquerque. We could not find her, but everybody was saying she had passed away. And we were looking under everything in the world. We were checking every state, obituaries, Social Security, and we just flat couldn't find her. And we found a stepson finally. And the stepson, for $250, told us where we could find her obituary.
$250. Wow.
Yeah, we had to pay him to get it. I mean, people are crazy. You know, once they get the money, lots of times they've already been paid for their policy. So they don't care. You know, if mom or daddy passes away about us finding them, you know, they're not very cooperative. And then we have the sweet people that when one of their loved ones passes away, they call and tell us.
Yeah. It's like the people, so they've already got theirs. And so,
yeah, they're not going to be calling us. They don't care. So it's just, there's different kinds of people.
When something like that happens, like how do you like the one you had to pay him $250, how did you, since you couldn't find, you know, any of the documents and all that, how did you first hear that the policy had matured even to start looking?
I don't remember. Somehow, somebody told us that this lady had passed away. but nobody could help us find her. It was the darndest thing I've ever heard of. I personally got on the phone to the newspapers in Albuquerque, the funeral homes, when everybody said they could not literally find her. And there was no report anywhere of her dying. There was no, we could not find anything. And of course, she had left Albuquerque and went to another state. I don't even remember what state it was. And we could not find her. We went back and looked at her profile, and we started looking, and we found she had two stepsons. And that's what we finally had to do, is call the stepsons. One of them wasn't going to help us. Then we went to the next one, and we told him, we'll give you $250 if you can help us. And he took the money, let me tell you. He didn't turn the money down. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Wow. He was probably in New Jersey.
That's it. If it was in New Jersey, you know, you're out of luck. It's not going to happen. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my. How does it work when somebody, when a policy normally matures? I'm sure there's like a pretty smooth process. How does it normally, how does it go when a policy matures, typically?
Well, usually when it's just a regular deal, we get notice they've died, then we have to apply for a certified death certificate. You cannot use a copy. You have to have a certified original to present to the insurance company. So then we either go to the funeral home, if they're real friendly, the family will authorize us to get it. If not, we go to the county, and the county has a record of it, and we order a certified death certificate from the county. And that's, we do that, and they will send it to us. And we can have it FedExed or whatever. And lots of times we do have to have it FedExed. So we get the certified death certificate. Then we get all the other papers. We send them a copy of the policy, and all this goes to the bank. Remember, the bank acts as the trustee for us and for the client. So then Nevada Trust sends all this to the carrier, then the carrier sends them the check. Then the check goes into everybody's account. And that, and we never touch it, as you know. And that's what makes it safe. Money doesn't come to us. It goes to the bank, and the bank disperses it. They're responsible for the money, and they put it in everybody's account. In the meantime, we give them a spreadsheet showing who gets the money, how much they get, and what accounts to put it in.
So it sounds like...
And that's the last thing that happens.
When a policy matures, there's a series of events that just kind of like gets kicked off, and then one thing happens, and then another thing happens, and another thing happens. It's already kind of like laid out, so it's just like a smooth process.
Well, everybody knows what all you have to have. You know, there's a list that we have. These are all the things you need to take it to the carrier. And then once the carrier gets it, if everything is correct, we don't have a problem. Now, not long ago, somebody put in the wrong social. So they called us and said, the social is not correct. So we immediately got on and found out where the error was, got it corrected, and got the money. But it takes usually 15 days, some a little longer, to pay us. There's one that plays this game and says, oh, we don't pay for, you know, 30 days or something. And we know that's not true. And if that happens, we have Jim Orr send them a nice little letter and say, we would like to remind you that's not the law. You know, that you have to pay within this length of time, you know.
It sounds like a very nice, polite letter.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, we do keep him on retainer. He helps us through everything. The other thing is if we need a new life expectancy, some families don't want to sign off where we can go to their doctors or their hospital and find out why it's gone over. And again, Jim Orr comes to the rescue. He sends them a nice, polite letter and says, under the terms of our agreement, you need to sign a new HIPAA form where we can get your information. You know, so we have to do that sometimes. But most of the times, we send them a HIPAA form, they sign it, we can go and get all their medical information and find out, you know, what is going on with that person, what the doctors say, what the hospital says, and all that is important information that we have to have.
Wow. It's you know, I don't know that we've ever gotten into, like, HIPAA forms and stuff like that. It sounds like there's a lot of stuff that's happening behind the scenes
There is a lot of forms that people don't know we have to have. We can't just go to the hospital and say, well, John Doe here, we need his information. You have to have authorization, and you have to renew that authorization. When they sign it the first time, it's good. It's only good for a certain length of time, and then you have to have another one signed. And it's just like we go to Social Security to see if they've passed away. Well, that's not the only source. We have three other companies we go to every day, and we're checking obituaries throughout the United States with our names on them, with the people that we have insured on them. And still, every once in a while, one will slip through the cracks. But we're on it all the time, trying to make sure we have all of our maturities, where we can pay people faster, make sure we've got all their medical, where we can read through that. Because if you read all the medical, you know where you stand with these clients. And we do that before we buy a policy, and we do it later when we're checking on them.
Wow. And you said it only takes 15 days from the time the policy matures to the time actually people get paid?
No, that's not what I said. Let me clarify that. From the time we get the certified death certificate to the carrier, then it's about 15 days.
Gotcha.
But it's not that when we first start. It may take 30 days or 45 days to get everything done. Sometimes, as I said, we have trouble getting the death certificate. But once we get the certified death certificate, it's put together, it goes to Nevada Trust, they send it in and ask for the check.
Wow.
So all that's pretty streamlined once we get that death certificate. And, last year we had one in Texas that nobody could get. I got on the phone, I called the mortuary, and I asked them, I said, we cannot get this death certificate because of COVID. We're having trouble. And they told me exactly how to do it. They said, instead of going to the state, go to your county office, and you can get it a lot faster, and you can get it fast. I called the county. They said, yes. Send a FedEx envelope. We'll do a turnaround. You'll have it back in 3 days.
And, wow.
In Texas, it's a lot easier to work with. They're great people.
Yeah.
But they told me how to get it quicker because most people go to the state to get the copy or to get the certified original. And they told us, no, go to the county. And there was two counties involved. So we got two death certificates a lot quicker by going that way because nobody was able to get it. They kept saying, we cannot get the death certificate on these people. I said, well, we've wasted enough time. Let's get it done. So I got on the phone, called the mortuary, and they told me how to do it, how to get it a lot quicker. So we did, and I got all the information and got it to the carrier a lot quicker.
Wow.
Instead of sitting here waiting. Instead of saying, we can't do it, we got it done immediately.
That's amazing. You know, it's always been impressive about how fast, people get paid with a life settlement. But knowing what's actually going on behind the scenes and how many things have to happen in a very short amount of time, it's even more impressive to hear you kind of lay out all the stuff that's actually going on. It's really, really it's fascinating, really.
Well, I think it is, too, because people don't realize how much paperwork is involved just to get the death claim settled. You know, it takes a lot of things, and everything has to be original. And when you send it in, everything's got to be right. Everything should be checked, and then it'll go real smooth. And then if we don't get it in like 12 days, I have somebody calling to see where the check is. And once we call them, it's amazing. Usually we've got it in 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
And lots of them will FedEx it to us, and some won't. And they'll say, well, if you pay, yes, we'll pay the $25. Just get it to us.
Really?
So lots of times we have to do that. We have to pay extra to get it quickly because they're going to sit on their toes over there and not get it out, you know? So we'll have a little talk with them, and then we get them to get it right on to us.
Another polite, nice conversation.
That's right. Well, you know, about 2 years ago, we had these people, this crazy insurance company, that sent the check to the wrong address first.
Really?
get them to about that. They send it back, and they put the wrong amount on it. And I know it was intentional. They were doing a stall. For some reason, they were stalling the pavement. I don't know why. And we helped their feet to the fire, and we got that straightened out real quick. But some clerk, you know, was saying, you know, we'll just mess this up, you know. We're not going to do a straight deal. So you have to call it to their attention and say, look, this has got to be straightened out immediately. And they'll stop doing that stuff, sort of thing. And that's the only insurance company I know that's ever done that. You know, sent it first to the wrong address. Then they sent the wrong amount on the check.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, people should know by now, do not mess with Faye Bagby. Man. you'll get things taken care of in a hurry.
That's right. Well, it is important. It's the client's money. It's our responsibility to get it to them as quickly as possible. So, you know, we want to get that check coming where we can put it in their account because they need that interest. You know, that's what we're here for, is to make them interest and get the principal back to them. And if we don't do our job, then we can't help the client.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen all kinds of things because, you know, when it comes to money, people will do some of the darndest things. They sometimes, you know, do crazy things that don't make any sense. And, you know, they just want to hang on to money or take money that's not theirs. I know, like even like, you know, people that will come out of the woodwork, like family members after a policy matures, you know, family members that maybe some distant third, you know, cousin someplace may come out of the woodwork and make a claim on something. Even if it's unfounded, they may try.
Yes. Well, it's been several years ago, but we had an ex-wife do that. She hadn't been married to him for 10 years, and she made a claim. And, oh, yeah, it's I'm the one supposed to get the money. And we go, and we say, you've been divorced for 10 years. Well, I know he wanted me to have the money. And we look back, and there wasn't any document naming her as a beneficiary. And, you know, if you've been divorced 10 years, you don't want your ex-wife to get the money.
Oh, no.
No. You want your new wife, or like in this case, the man signed it over to us. And we were the beneficiary on his policy, not his ex-wife. But she made an attempt anyway. And people sometimes will do something dishonest.
They'll try.
They'll try. I mean, you know, for $400,000, they will make an attempt to get the money.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
wow.
And, you know, we had a lady in Midland several years ago that had a trust. And she had put it at her uncle's house in the safe for safekeeping. And these two cousins get the combination, and they get the trust, and they were going to figure out a way they were going to get the money out of that trust. I mean, they were that stupid.
Wow.
You know. Yeah, and I never will forget. It went on. I think it was 7 years before that thing was finally, you know, fixed.
Wow, 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was 7 years before they finally got that in the courts. And these guys did not get one dime. They were just changing things, you know, on the beneficiaries. They were forging things and doing all kinds of bad things. And I remember I kept up with the case, and I believe it was 7 years before they finally got that all straightened out. And I don't know what they ever did with those two guys. I don't remember. But I know this poor lady was hysterical that they had stolen the trust. They changed documents, and she was worth a lot of money. They were going to get it.
Wow.
They figured if she died, they were going to get all that. It was a big haul, but it didn't happen. She finally, you know, got it straightened out through the courts, but look what she spent, getting them out of there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And proving that they had forged all this.
All the legal fees and the expenses of and the time. Oh, man. And, you know, wow, I just can't even. It almost sounds like one of those things that you don't even believe because you would see it on like the Discovery Channel or something like that.
That's right. And you don't think you'll ever hear about a real case.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
About something like that happening to a real person. But things do happen. And, you know, if you have documents. Don't give everybody in town the combination.
Yeah. Yeah, they got the combination literally to the safe and went in and and got the documents and tried to forge things. And man, that's a pretty big scam, whichever.
It was a big scheme. And, thank goodness they noticed they'd gotten in the safe and they noticed right away that the trust was missing. And they were asking everybody, nobody had seen it and all this. And then they figured out who had it. You know, these two boys, and they were in their 20s, I think, as well as I remember.
Oh, wow.
And they were just going to make themselves very wealthy.
They're going to help themselves to something that's not theirs.
That's right. Absolutely.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
It is the castles of Texas. Did you know we have all these castles here in Texas?
I did not, but I love castles.
I do, too. And we've got castles that you can spend the night in. There's castles you can go have wine and chocolate. There's tours of these castles. And a lot of people in Texas wouldn't even think about that we have them, but we do have castles. In fact, we've got some great castles, some of the best anywhere in the world. The first castle I'm going to tell you about is on Burnett. And it's a gorgeous white castle. It raises, I don't know how many feet in the air, but it's a beautiful thing. And it's called Falkenstein Castle. And Falkenstein Castle is a remake of one from Germany.
Ooh.
Exact replica. And this couple here in Texas were over there visiting all the countries, and they saw the one, Stein one, and the guy's name is Terry, and he asked his wife on the way home, what would you think about building a castle called Falkenstein in Texas? Well, they went out there to the hill country, bought them 113 acres, and they made 14,000 square feet of architecture, museum-quality artwork, historic artifacts, and then they did a 40,000-gallon koi pond.
Wow.
On the grounds.
Ooh, that's huge.
Yes. They rented out for weddings, private events, but you could spend the night there, but it's very expensive. They said just be prepared. But it's a beautiful castle. It'd be a great place this summer to take your family and visit or to go visit all the castles. We have about 8 castles in Texas. The other one is Newman's Castle. And Mike Newman, he went to Europe. He fell in love with all this medieval architecture. He returned to Texas, and he owned a bakery in Belleville, Texas. And he saved up money, owning a bakery, mind you. He bought 20 acres of land out in the country, and he built a 3,800-square-foot castle. It has a moat, a drawbridge, a catapult. It's the real thing.
Wow, that's cool.
And you can visit it. He does a tour every morning at 10:30 from his bakery, mind you. And then you can go to the castle. It's 5 miles out in the country. It's a beautiful place to visit. Any of these castles, I would be just, in love with. Then you've got the one in Waco, Texas. Now, the one in Waco, they broke ground on it in 1890.
Oh, wow.
And then, the guy's name was John Tenet. He went broke, and it changed hands more than once. They finally completed the Civil War veteran Alfred Abel in 1910. And it continued bouncing around from people to people, but it's a great place to visit also. Then you've got Cottonland Castle, and it isn't open to visitors right now, but it might be in the future. The Gaines have bought it.
Like which Gaines?
Chip and Joanna Gaines.
That Gaines? Really?
That Gaines has bought it.
Huh. Okay. Well, that's cool.
And they're redoing it again.
Wow.
Then you've got Parsons Castle. It took a decade to build it, and it has 11,500 feet, and it's on the banks of Lake Whitney. And it is a party one. It has 10 guest bedrooms, 14 baths, and it has a penthouse. And it has a drawbridge and a heart-shaped moat. So that would be a fun place to go.
Cool.
You could go and spend the night there. These all of them would be a fun thing. Then you've got the one in Weatherford, Texas, and it has a dungeon. And the one in Johnson City, it has a winery in the dungeon. You can do all kinds of things there. And it's like $39 a person. You can go and have a private turret room. You can go to the dungeon and have chocolate and wine. There's just all kinds of fun things you could do on a weekend. You could take a trip and go to two or three of these, or go on different weekends. And only one of them, really has the rooms that you can spend the night in. But they're gorgeous castles. I've looked at all of them. They're fabulous looking. But to go and visit a drawbridge, a castle, right here in Texas, I think would be a wonderful experience for any family. I don't care who you are. I think you would love it.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. Even, you know, to go down to the dungeon and have chocolate and wine. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, I think
cool.
That would really be fun. And all of them are authentic. They're original down to the stone fireplaces. These are exact replicas of the European castles. And the one couple got a set of the plans on the old Falkenstein and recreated it exactly, down to the flooring, exactly like it was in the original old drawings.
Wow. That's fascinating to me. You know, castles, you know, because I always love architecture, but castles have a whole different type of architecture. They've got, it's cold, yet it's you know, and it's stone, but it's so, like if they're done, you know, properly, they're so elegant at the same time. It's really kind of, it's fascinating how they build these and the general feel that you get when you're inside of a castle. It's really cool.
It is cool. And what I like is the one that did all the replicas, exact replicas of everything, architecture, the furnishings, everything. You know, all these spent all this time and money getting it right. And that one couple, that guy saved for years to get enough money to build a castle.
He must have had a very successful bakery.
That's what I'm thinking about. How could a bakery make enough money to build a castle?
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. And his castle's on 15 acres. The others are on like 100 acres, you know. And so they're much bigger. But can you imagine? He has that tour every morning at 10:30. You can go and see the castle. It's 15 miles out in the country and tour it. And, that was his life dream, is to build this castle, which he did. And he's sharing it with the world out of that bakery. Like you said, that bakery must be making a lot of money.
Evidently. Wow.
But I think that would be a good weekend trip to go and visit a castle. The one in Johnson City is the one that has the chocolate, has the dungeons. Has a wine, that would be a fun experience to go down to a dungeon and look at things like that. And castles are a long, long time ago, and yet we've got them here in Texas. How many people would realize we have about 8 castles in the state of Texas?
I didn't have a clue. I had no idea. You know,
I mean, they have drawbridges, they have the moats, they have the whole thing.
Yeah, and that's the because you don't see those kinds of things every day, and then just to see those is cool. But then a lot of times, if you get the right kind of castle, then they have secret passages in there, like underground tunnels or secret walls, all kinds of things.
And they haven't told whether they have all those or not. We don't know. You'd have to go there. They're not going to tell you everything.
No, that's why they're secret.
You have to go and see them. That's right. And if they have secret rooms or secret passages, you'd have to go and find out.
Yeah. Wow.
But Yeah, I think it'd be a wonderful trip. And summer's coming up. Everybody's going to be taking a lot of trips all over Texas. So we want them to have fun things to do. And, you know, in Texas this summer also, they have so many events happening. You know, there's rodeos, there's festivals all over Texas all summer long. Do you realize that?
Yeah, that's the
beauty
of being here.
I mean, we have wonderful festivals.
Yeah, we do.
That's right. Is there so many festivals? There's just so many fun things to see. And food this summer. We're going to talk about food, too.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, we're not going to miss that because there's so many places got so much great food. Everybody needs to be sampling it, frankly.
Yeah. I saw something on TV the other day that they were, it was a commercial for something, and it was that deep fried show that they have where they go to like the fairs and they have the deep fried competition. And they were talking about the Texas State Fair. And I'm like, hey, there you go. That's the mecca of all summer foods is right there.
It is because they every year they have at least five or six new foods for you to try out that are just fabulous. And if everybody really likes them, they put them on the market right away. If they don't, they just go back to the drawing board. But Texas has, you know, it's always bigger and better in Texas. And they always have every kind of food at the fair that you and I never even thought of in our whole life.
Yeah. Yeah, even like the guy that invented the deep fried butter. It's like who would even think of something like that?
Yeah, deep fried butter. I don't know how that worked to keep from just melting away. I haven't ever figured that out.
He said I was watching one of those shows, and he said how and I forget, you know, all the how he does it. I don't know if he like freezes it and then breads it, or I can't remember all the details. But he went into how the whole thing works, and it's who comes up with things like that? You know, even when they're, you know, creating these dishes for like the fair and stuff, it's like they're like, well, it's got to be mobile. It's got to be, you know, you don't want to have this like this thing that you have to have like, you know, three or four different plates of things to eat something. It's got to be mobile. It's got to be quick. It's got to be profitable. It's got to. There's so many factors that go into what makes good fair food, and then it has to taste good. So it's like I didn't even realize any of that was going on behind the scenes.
Now, you know, they have a cheesecake taco now.
No.
They have a cheesecake taco, Lubbock, Texas.
Really?
Yes, I've been reading about it. A cheesecake taco. I never heard of such.
I'm writing this down right now. Cheesecake taco. Wow.
They do have a cheesecake taco now. They invent something new all the time.
Is that cheesecake?
There's always something new going up.
Is it inside a taco shell or is it like?
Yes, I believe so. The way I looked at it, I'll give you a report back on it exactly how they made it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I might need a nap right now.
Yeah, I mean,
oh my
little
goodness.
Cheesecake in the side of the taco. What
a
deal.
Oh, Lord. But yeah, so what are the Gaines is doing with their castle? Are they going to, is that something that they're opening up to?
They're redoing it. I don't know if they will open it up to the public or what, but they bought the castle and in Clifton, and they are redoing that castle.
I wonder if they'll have like, because obviously, you know, because if the Gaineses do it like the Gaines usually do, they'll have like a gift shop. But I wonder if they'll have like a restaurant that'll serve like some kind of like turkey legs or something like that, some kind of like medieval kind of food or something. I don't know. They're usually pretty clever with stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I hope they don't do a gift shop in the castle. I think that would take it. That would just do it for me.
Well, you have to have your trinkets and memorabilia. Maybe they build a gift shop outside, like out. Like
yeah, I mean,
lot.
Don't put it in the castle. But of course, you don't know what the Gaines couple will do with it.
Yeah.
But they did buy it, and it was done in as I said. Remember, it was finished in the 1910s.
Yeah.
So it is the real deal. But they bought it in 19, and they've been redoing it. And I don't know, you know, like you said, I hope they don't put a gift shop in. But, you know, you never know. You know, but old Newman, I think, is the ultimate because his goes from the bakery every morning, 10:30, and downtown Belleville. I mean, you know. I love that.
Wow. That would be so cool.
He takes, yeah. And, of course, the Falkenstein is a gorgeous place. It is really pretty.
Mm-hmm. Man, there's just a beauty to castles that you don't find in regular architecture. Definitely something to do this summer. Maybe even like the Texas Castle Tour or something like that.
That's what I think they should have. And, of course, I'm shocked how tall the castles are. Mm. I mean, they didn't do some little squatty replica. These are the real thing. And I don't know what it costs to build these castles. I mean, when you look at the one in Burnet especially, it's amazing how tall, how big and majestic it is way out in the country, but it is majestic.
Yeah, yeah, it overlooks everything, like literally. It's fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Even ones, the castles that were built like thousands of years ago, how they did those without modern equipment and things like that, you know, not only the height, but, you know, the massive width and, you know, because they spread out, you know, for acres sometimes. It's amazing how they even came up with things like that. It's quite fascinating.
And, of course, you know, the Falkenstein, you could rent the whole thing.
Yeah. I got to go see
Can
some
you imagine?
Of those. I didn't even know we had castles.
And we've got all these fabulous castles.
It's amazing.
And, and people redid them and built them just exactly like they were in Europe. And I can't imagine who they got to help build it. But you would need some expert craftsmen to build a castle. It's not like building a house.
Oh, no. No.
I mean, you know, we're talking a serious building here.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing. That's cool. I didn't. Do most people know that there's castles in Texas? Or
I don't know, because I didn't. I just happened to run onto the fact that there is castles. And so I looked them all up, did some research, found all these castles. And I go, oh, my gosh, I didn't know we had castles. And then I didn't know you could visit them. You know, you can have the chocolate, the wine. You can take tours of them. I think it would really be fun to tour every castle that we have.
Me too. Me too. And just knowing that like 30 minutes ago, I had no idea we had any. And now I'm pretty much planning the summer around all
of
these.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to go visit a castle or two. Oh, man. I think it would be a wonderful experience. And I think everybody in Texas should visit a castle.
Yeah, no doubt. Definitely worth seeing at least once in your life, if not more. They're really, really cool. Something you don't see every day. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You mentioned earlier that you had some new investors coming over to talk to you. You mentioned that, you know, somebody had said, you know, they'd been in the stock market and finally it's time to make a change. Is there room for more new investors to come over and maybe get into life settlements?
Yes, there is. Like several people, our regular customers, clients have called this week wanting to know if we had policies ready. And I thought we did. And then, you know, I had the recension of that one, and then we didn't get the bid on the other one. So hopefully by the end of the week, we'll be able to get people in policies again. As I said, we bid four policies. I figure that we'll get two of them at least. And then we'll be bidding on more policies this week. So hopefully we can get everybody in policies, get them some interest money making, and get everything right on track again. That's what I'm hoping.
For a new investor, they do need to be accredited in order to do a life settlement. So what does that mean, first of all?
You must be accredited. That means you must make either $200,000 or you must be worth $1 million without your home. And that is a government regulation. It's not my stipulation. Because a lot of people ask, well, Faye, why do we have to be worth that much? And because the government says so, and you know how they are. you can't fight City Hall. And of course, the minimum investment is $100,000.
What does an ideal, I know that's the minimum, but what does an ideal situation for maybe, I don't know, because I know some people will try it out and then maybe they'll kind of, you know, expand, you know, once they get a couple of maturities and see how the whole thing works. But for a general new investor, what would be a good, you know, five policies, three policies, 20 policies, and
well,
how much would that be?
You know, you need to start out with several. It doesn't really work well if you go over and say, I just want one policy. You need to be diversified. Even in this, even though it's a safe policy, you do need more than one policy, because if they go over, you need some that are coming in all the time. So you need several policies. And most people come in with $250,000, $350,000 minimum to start with. Now, I've had some people come in with $100,000 and do two policies, but that's usually not the case. Usually people bring more money than that over. Because you should start out with like six policies.
Okay. All right. At least people kind of have some kind of an idea of where, you know, where most people start out, what is optimal. Now, obviously, you have some that are in like 20 policies.
We have a lot of people that are in 20 to 30, and they're doing quite well. And then we've still got the old policies we talk about a lot, and hopefully we're going to be out of those soon. That's what my prayer is, that they will mature and get us out of those, and then we'll be home free.
Cool. And what are the risks? Because I know new people come in and they hear all the great, wonderful things, and all of those are true, which is one of the big draws for life settlements. You know, they're independent of anything that's going on in the stock market, anything that happens in the world. If, you know, say the economy crashed Monday morning, life settlements are still solid. So there's a lot of really great benefits. But what are the three main risks that people need to know?
Well, your main risk and the biggest risk is the policy could go over. So when you go into a policy, be sure what the premium is. Be sure that it's not more than you would like to pay. We're not doing anything anymore unless the premium is 2% or less.
Oh, wow.
And I've seen a lot of them in the last few days that are like 0.25. I mean, they're really, really low. And you cannot get hurt as long as that premium is really low. So it's important that you check the premium as you go in. The biggest risk is it could go over. You're going to be responsible for the premium if it goes over. So you need to know that. The second one is it's not liquid while you're in a policy, because you can't take the money out midstream. Of course, all of our people are accredited, and if you're accredited, you don't have to worry about it. You have other funds available. You have emergency funds available, so we're not worried about you. The third risk, of course, is if a life insurance company ever went under. And they don't usually go under anymore because they've gotten so big. They're worth billions and billions of dollars. So that is not really an issue anymore. The only issue you have to worry about is it going over and paying premiums.
The premiums limit that you mentioned at 2%, does that kind of are you tightening up the maybe like?
We're tightening it down to the wall. We're going to make sure that the premiums are very, very small. We haven't been careful enough about that. And some of the premiums are higher than we want, and they're paying more than we want them to be paying. So we're going to tighten that down where the premiums will be so low it will not be a concern.
What does that do to like availability? Because I'm sure that'll knock out some policies you may have considered at one point, maybe if they're outside of that threshold.
It will, and it has already.
Wow.
Because this week we did some, and we added the premium up. We said, no, the premium is too high. We cannot do that. Premium has got to be minimal, very low. And so that's our new deal. It's what we're working on. We will not buy any policies with a high premium.
It sounds like the end result, though, is better policies, more profit for people, better turnaround. It sounds like in the long run.
A lot better turnaround,
yeah.
And a lot more profit. You'll have more profit.
Yeah, and that's
we'll be happier. The client will be happier.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's the goal. And so
is the goal.
Making improvements like this and you know, kind of, you know, resetting your own standards. It sounds like you've got really your standards far exceed any kind of, I know it's not exactly the same thing, but like government regulations and, you know, things like that. It sounds like you're really honing in on the best of the best just to make these even more profitable.
That's what we're trying to do. We're making adjustments. We're making changes. all for the best.
For anybody who maybe isn't accredited and not quite qualified yet to do a life settlement, do they have other options?
Yes, they do. They can do annuities. Annuities are great. They're safe. I talk about annuities not enough, probably, but annuities have been around over 150 years. There's all kinds of different companies that do annuities. The company that we use, I think, has the best annuities in the world. These annuities pay better than any I've seen. They even have something like for people that have got money in the bank that's just sitting there. They've got a 3% rate for people that just want something like a CD even.
Really?
So that's a good thing. Yeah, they've got a 3% rate, fixed rate. And so people that don't want any speculation whatsoever, they can do a fixed rate annuity. But then the other annuities are index annuities. They don't have a cap on them. They're cap free. There's just participation rate is great. So it's a great thing. And they have things like BlackRock and Fidelity in there. They've got the biggest deals that you can invest in the United States without the risk. Because annuities don't go down. Remember, annuities, when you make your interest, it locks in. And once it's locked in every year, it's yours. And these are walk-away annuities. You can walk away at 10 years or 7 or 5. So, and then if you have an emergency, you can take it all out on the third year if you have an emergency.
If somebody's just kind of starting to get into wealth management and investing, is there any kind of advantage to either life settlements or annuities, or does it just not really matter except for, you know, whatever people prefer? No preference over?
What I do every time I talk to a client, I ask them, how do you want to do this? Do you want to do annuities? Do you want to mix it? Or do you want to do life settlements? And most people say, I want the life settlement. And most men say that. Now, every once in a while, I'll have somebody that says, no, I want all annuities, and we'll do that. Or if they want both, or if the wife wants one and the husband wants a different one, we can do that.
Okay. And then finally, what's the big draw to the life settlements? Why are so many people attracted to those the most?
Because it's different than a stock or a mutual fund or a REIT. It doesn't go down, and you're investing in a life insurance policy, which is a lot safer than most things. Because if you're in a life insurance policy, you know you'll get paid. You know the life insurance company is not going to discount it. They're not going to say, well, we'll just give you half of it. They always pay 100% of what the policy calls for.
All right. So for people that that want to come over and see you, maybe come over as a new investor, maybe get started, ask some questions. Should they do any prep work before they come over and talk to you, or is it just kind of like?
Well, if they know what they're worth, they don't have to. If they don't, if they're not sure, they should add it up, make sure they are worth $1 million, or that they make $200,000, including bonus every year.
I never like to commit you because I don't know your exact schedule, but I assume you've got availability this week to talk to people, right?
That's right. We will be talking to people. We'll be putting people in policies, and we will update people middle of the week on what policies we can put them in.
Cool. All right. So for people to get started, they do need to make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.